Right now, lawmakers are criticizing the Environmental Protection Agency after emails showed that it tried to prevent the publication of a report on the dangers of a chemical pollutant. The report focused on the same chemicals that contaminated private wells in the Peshtigo area last December. About 100 homeowners are still being provided bottled water there. Exchanges between the EPA and the White House's budget office show that the effort to keep the study private stemmed from fears of a, quote, public relations nightmare. Michael Halpern is the deputy director of the Center for Science and Democracy, part of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Before we get into this report in particular, can you tell us about the chemicals that are at the center of this story?
Sure. And we're talking about what really is a growing public health crisis related to what are called PFAS, which is a class of man-made chemicals that is found really throughout the United States that are making people sick. It comes from a lot of different chemical companies like DuPont. A lot of it is legacy pollution that has come from factories, from firefighting foam, and other types of products that have contaminated groundwater all throughout the United States.
And can you talk about where these are localized? I understand a lot of this is on military sites in particular.
You do find that military families are at particular risk, and that's the reason the Defense Department is particularly interested in these chemicals. There has been found a lot of significant contamination around military bases where the chemical was used in firefighting foam for a long time and continues to be in a lot of places. So there are military bases all around the country where they're paying special attention to what levels of this chemical are safe and what are not.
And that's the big question. What levels are safe? And a lot of this report that we're going to get into has to do with the safe levels in drinking water. Prior to this report, what has been the federal guideline? What have we regarded as safe when it comes to these chemicals?
So the EPA a couple years ago set a threshold of 70 parts per trillion that was set up to really be a guideline for agencies around the country. But what we've found is that by and large, over the past couple decades, the federal government really hasn't done much related to really controlling these chemicals and cleaning them up. And so states have been stepping in a lot more to take actions and protect public health and the environment.
That brings us to this report now from the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, not a household name, really. Can you talk about this agency and the importance of the reports that it issues?
Yeah, so this is part of the Department of Health and Human Services, where the CDC also lives, and they were ready to come out with a study related to these chemicals that would find harm at considerably lower levels of exposure than the EPA had. Basically, it's the types of methods that they're using to look more holistically at the impact that these types of chemicals would have on all people, including more vulnerable populations. And when the White House got wind of the fact that they were going to come out with this report, the White House reached out to the EPA and the Department of Defense to basically try to figure out a way to shut it down. In emails that were obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, we found that they were openly speculating about the concern that this new study would cause, quote, a PR nightmare for the White House. So there was more interest in controlling the public relations than protecting the public, and so far they've been successful in suppressing the report.
Right. This report still hasn't been released to the public yet, right?
That's correct. And because of the pretty significant bipartisan outrage that has come out over the past couple of weeks since the cover-up was brought to light, and because it affects so many people in red states and blue states, the agency has indicated that it does intend to release the report, and the EPA should be encouraging them to do so, not dissuading them from doing so.
Talking to Michael Halpern with Union of Concerned Scientists about a federal government report on the safety level of a potentially hazardous chemical. Michael, what would have to happen if we put these new guidelines in place? What kind of would there be required remediation around the country if we went with much lower guidelines than it existed previously?
Well, a lot of this is advisory in nature, and it ends up being up to states to set what standards make sense for specific areas. So just this month, actually, in over in Minnesota, the state government came out with recommended levels of exposure and also very specific advice on what lakes to fish in and what lakes not to fish in, and what types of fish you could take from specific lakes in the state. And so that is the type of information that people need to make really informed decisions about their own health and safety, and the types of things we need to encourage. So, I mean, if we look at the EPA right now, you know, the EPA leadership is not particularly concerned about chemical exposure, and we see that because of the fact that of the people that they're nominating to lead these important positions within the agency. There was a longtime chemical industry advocate named Michael Duerson, who was nominated by the president to lead chemical safety policy at EPA, and Senate Republicans refused to confirm him because he had been paid by the chemical industry for a number of years to advocate for much looser restrictions on these particular chemicals, exposure limits that the companies themselves had acknowledged were not safe. So at this point, you know, with the long history at EPA of delay and inaction and not a terribly high willingness to step in and take action, it's really been left up to the states. And the EPA's best role at this point is to provide the resources and technical support that state departments of natural resources need to get the job done, assuming, of course, that those state DNRs have the independence to pursue this kind of work.
Is it that unusual to hold off on releasing a report where you've got one group of scientists in the federal government saying something that's very different than the previous guidelines? Maybe it would make sense to say, hold on, let's compare the science, the judgment used by each group, and then figure out what we want in the public eye?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I don't think that you want confusion in the public. You know, that said, this type of process should not be coming from the White House concerned about public relations nightmares. It should be the scientists working this information out among themselves. And we see on all kinds of different issues, from smoking to exposure to chemicals, that people are pretty good at looking at different types of information and deciding their risk levels. And I think that we should err on the side of releasing information, especially if it suggests that the current safety thresholds are not safe, and then allow the scientists to work that out themselves. You know, this should be a conversation that is taking place among the experts, not among political appointees that have political considerations, not public considerations in mind.
Let's get back to the chemicals themselves. If people are exposed to these, say, in their drinking water at higher than the safe levels, these very low levels of parts per trillion, what kind of health impacts do they have?
So it has been linked to cancer, to thyroid disease, to weakened immune systems, even possibly lowering the effects of vaccines in younger people. And we find that pregnant women are especially vulnerable to these kinds of chemicals and passing along some of the damage to developing fetuses and the like. And that's why a lot of states and have started developing standards that are considerably stronger than what the EPA puts at its minimum threshold, because they're looking at all kinds of different vulnerable populations. So over in Minnesota, just like I said, this month, their updated values are currently half of what EPA's value is.
Now, I understand there's a local issue here near Peshtigo, Wisconsin, a test facility run by a fire products company. These chemicals found their way into the groundwater. About 100 families there, I understand, are still being supplied bottled water by the company in question. Is this something that we've seen happen before, specific leaks or outbreak isn't the quite word, but incidents of these chemicals in very high concentrations in waterways?
Yeah, certainly. And that's why, you know, one of the things the EPA really needs to do is to make sure that there is funding available for states to be able to test and clean up drinking water. A lot of the problems here end up being very localized, and that has a tremendous impact on communities that need that information and need to make sure that those monitoring resources are in place to make sure that we are able to assess these kinds of threats in a responsible way.
You mentioned earlier the reaction from senators, U.S. senators of both parties, that'll probably lead to this information being released. What do you think about the role of Congress in oversight here?
Well, congressional oversight is extremely important when it comes to looking at how science is used in the federal government. And it's very common for political appointees to want to suppress the kinds of information that is not convenient to the politics at hand. And we've seen that happen with regard to climate change, with regard to invasive or endangered species, and a lot of other areas under the current presidential administration. And so it's encouraging to see Congress step up and send letters and call for this study to be released, but they definitely have to do more. This is the job that Congress was set up to do, is to monitor agencies and making sure that they have sufficient independence from the political leaders who are appointed to head them, and to make sure that scientists are able to share their results publicly, regardless of whether or not those results benefit a particular company or not.
Michael, thanks for joining us today.
It's been great to be with you.
Michael Halpern is the Deputy Director of the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. He joined us to talk about emails showing the EPA sought to block the release of a report on the dangers of chemical pollutants.